This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Today's show was pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any questions or comments. Coming up on this opening day of Reds baseball, we'll talk with the authors of a book about lost ballparks, including one of the Reds' earliest homes, the Palace of the Fans. But first, the nonprofit organization StoryCorps was founded in 2003. Since then, it's given more than 100,000 people the chance to record interviews about their lives, pass wisdom from one generation to the next, and leave a legacy for the future. It's the largest single collection of human voices ever gathered. The StoryCorps mobile booth will be in Cincinnati from April 20th to May 19th, located at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. I recently spoke with Mobile Tour Associate Director for StoryCorps, Jordan Bullard, about how StoryCorps got its start and about the upcoming Cincinnati visit. Jordan, thank you for joining me today.
Of course.
Explain what StoryCorps is. What's the idea behind this and the purpose of StoryCorps?
Well, StoryCorps, sort of at its most basic form, is an oral history media project, essentially. And our mission, StoryCorps' mission, is to preserve and share humanity's stories in order to build connections between people and try to create a more just and passionate world. And it started off very simply with a recording booth in Grand Central Terminal in Manhattan, and it's grown pretty exponentially over the past 14 or 15 years or so. But basically with the idea that everyone's voice and everyone's story matters, and that everyone's experience has value, and that this is a pretty unique time, this model of StoryCorps, it's a conversational model where, you know, it's not a news anchor or a reporter conducting these interviews. It's just the people conducting these interviews, having conversations with folks that they love, whether it's a spouse or a sibling or maybe a good friend or a close coworker. So I think especially now in today's media landscape, it really it shifts things a bit and is able to sort of put gives the power back to the people in some manner of speaking and enables folks to sort of speak their own piece and tell their own story.
So you say it's grown exponentially. Can you be a little more specific? How much has it grown?
Sure, yeah. So over the past 15 years or so, StoryCorps went from having basically just being an idea from our founder, Dave Isay. It was an idea. He was a radio documentarian back in the day, and he had this idea that people should interview themselves rather than be interviewed by a reporter or by a newscaster or something like that. So the very humble beginning started in Grand Central Terminal in New York with a recording studio there. You know, one of the busiest places in New York, how rare is it to sit down and spend 40 minutes of uninterrupted time just having a conversation with someone. From there, we now have fixed recording locations in Atlanta, San Francisco, and Chicago. We have a lot of different initiatives that focus on different populations, whether it's, you know, military service members and their families, folks from the African-American and Latino communities across the country. We have a 9/11 initiative. We have an initiative that focuses on the stories of the LGBTQ community. And in addition to that, we have our traveling, we call it our mobile booth, which is an Airstream trailer that is outfitted with a recording studio on the inside, which will be visiting Cincinnati later this spring. So from one small little idea, one little recording booth in Grand Central Terminal, we've really expanded quite a lot with the idea that we can offer this service to pretty much everyone. And the sort of icing on the cake to all that is now is that we actually have an app out too that is probably the most accessible way to sort of get to know StoryCorps and use the StoryCorps services.
So you weren't kidding when you said it's grown exponentially.
That's a lot. Quite a bit.
How many cities does the mobile StoryCorps visit every year?
We visit 10 cities a year. And in each of those cities, we partner with NPR affiliate radio stations. So we're very happy to be partnering with WVXU for our upcoming visit to Cincinnati. So in those 10 cities, we partner with public radio stations. We visit each city somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 5, sometimes even 6 weeks at a time. And it's planning the mobile tour can be kind of tough because we have to be up north in the summertime and down south in the wintertime. So hopefully spring in Cincinnati will be just the perfect spot for us. It is an Airstream trailer. It does have a fancy recording studio on the inside. It's nice and cozy. But in the end, it's still an Airstream trailer, and it's only, it can only withstand the outward temperatures so much. So we do have to plan our travels according to that. Also, of course, we like to not just visit big coastal cities or big cities that you see in the media, like Chicago or Dallas or, L.A., New York, which is one of the reasons that we like to come to places like Cincinnati that have such rich histories. And having visited Cincinnati just a few weeks ago, I really got to know the city, to see how beautiful it is and to see how rich the stories in Cincinnati really are, to try to offer this opportunity to folks all across the country and all, 10 cities that we visit each year. The mobile tour has now been on the road for 12 years. This will be our 12th year. So we've reached quite a lot of people in those 12 years, and been able to offer this service to folks. So,
any idea how many people?
Ooh, that's a really good question. We generally record somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1,400 interviews a year. And so that we usually, one interview usually has two people in it. So 1,400, so 2,800 people per year times 12. I suppose you could do the math. We've had quite a lot.
It's a lot of people.
Maybe close to 30,000 people come in and record in the Airstream over the past 12 years.
Yeah, and it's a lot of stories, isn't it? I want to play an example of one of the stories, and this is Albert and Aiden Sykes. This actually was originally aired on March 20th of 2015.
Do you remember what was going through your head when you first saw me?
I remember when the doctor pulled you out, the first thing I thought was that he was being too rough with you. And he actually held you like a little Sprite bottle, and he was like, "Here's your baby." That was the most proud moment of my life. Don't tell your brothers, because it's three of y'all. But it was like looking at a blank canvas and just imagining what you want the painting to look like at the end, but also knowing you can't control the paint strokes. The fear was just, I got to bring up a black boy in Mississippi, which is a tough place to bring up kids, period. But there are statistics that say black boys born after the year 2002 have a 1 in 3 chance of going to prison. And all three of my sons were born after the year 2002.
So, Dad, why do you take me to protest so much?
I think I take you for a bunch of reasons. One is that I want you to see what it looks like when people come together, but also that you understand that it's not just about people that are familiar to you, but it's about everybody. Did you know the work that Martin Luther King was doing was for everybody and it wasn't just for black people?
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah. So that's how you got to think. If you decide that you want to be a cab driver, then you got to be the most impactful cab driver that you can possibly be.
Are you proud of me?
Of course. You my man. I just love everything about you, period.
Jordan, I absolutely love that story. That is awesome. Tell us about that one.
Well, that one was recorded during a mobile booth visit to Jackson, Mississippi. This has been one of my favorite StoryCorps recordings for a while now, just because the dynamic between this father and son is so palpable and it's so clear that they have such affection for each other. Whenever I listen to this, I always imagine, what is little Aiden Sykes going to play for his son or his daughter 30 years from now, when he says, "Hey, I want you to hear what your granddaddy had to say," or here's some great advice that my father had for me when I was young. And that's the kind of benefit, I think, the kind of gift that StoryCorps can be, is that, you have the chance to memorialize someone, or you have the chance to talk about what's important to you, And that lives on, you know. That recording, you know, the psychs can keep that recording for as long as they want. That that recording of the conversation between those two gentlemen is going to be archived in the Library of Congress in perpetuity. And that, I think, is a really special opportunity for folks, you know, because we all have close relationships in our lives, you know, whether it's a father-son relationship or good friends or mother-daughter, whatever the relationship may be. And so we can all identify with this. And I think that's what the power of StoryCorps is, that these stories that we can all identify with, regardless of sort of the theme or what exactly it is that these folks are talking about.
And that's true. I find myself relating, you know, as a father myself, I find myself relating to his fatherly pride about his son. That's just, it just comes through so loud and clear. You mentioned that these are archived in the Library of Congress. Are all StoryCorps segments, are they all put in the Library of Congress?
Yep. As long as folks give us permission, we archive all stories in the Library of Congress. At the end of a recording session, so a recording session is generally 1 hour long. At the beginning of it, we do some administrative stuff. We ask folks to fill in some paperwork, just identifying themselves, who they are, where they live. And then the recording time itself takes 40 minutes. It's 40 minutes of uninterrupted recording time. And then after the end of that recording time, folks will have the opportunity to give StoryCorps permission to archive their story in the Library of Congress. And that happens with probably 98% of the stories that we record. Those stories are archived in the Library of Congress. Sometimes folks choose not to, and that's totally up to them. But the vast majority of the stories we record are archived in D.C. in the Library of Congress.
And it sounds like it's a pretty simple process to go through this.
Yeah, we try to make it as easy as possible for folks. You know, we have we're really excited to be citing at the Freedom Center in Cincinnati. You know, a place that you know, not being from Cincinnati myself, but a lot of people that I've spoken with in Cincinnati are familiar with that area. It's accessible. People feel comfortable going there. So that's really important for us. Our Airstream itself is a really cozy, sort of welcoming space. We even have a wheelchair lift for folks who have limited mobility. So we try to be accessible in that way. But yeah, we try to make this as easy as possible for folks. You know, when reservations are available, I think the first round goes live April 6th. Folks can sign on storycorps.org/reservations, or they can call our 800 number, or 800-850-4406, to make a reservation. And then from then on, we will call each participant that comes in and prep them for our time with us to make sure that they know what to expect. So we try to make this an easy experience, a seamless experience for folks so that they can get the most benefit out of it possible.
And who can come in to record it? Can just anyone come in and tell their story?
Yeah, anyone can come in and tell their story. The appointments are open and available to the public. So if, on that day, when appointments become available, it's pretty much first come, first serve. We don't pre-screen any of the folks that come in to record with us. So it's just open and available to anyone who might be in the area that might want to record a story with us.
I'd like to play another example here, Jordan. This one is Diane Tells His Name and Bonnie Buchanan. And if you could set this one up for us before we actually play it.
Sure, yeah. So it's a family story. It's a little bit of a unique family story, the way these two women came together. Diane Tells His Name is Bonnie Buchanan's mother. And Diane ended up adopting Bonnie through, I would say, some pretty sort of unconventional means, but to me, the sort of identifying part of this story, the part that we can all identify with here, is just the bond that they have and the family history that they have and the way that they identify with one another.
When did you first feel like you were different?
Probably elementary school. I had a younger sister, and I really didn't like doing the same things that she would do. She would do tea parties and play with dolls and things like that. And I was always outside looking at the clouds or the stars. And my sister was blonde, tall and thin like my mother. And I was round and brown. I remember going through the family albums looking for my face in the old photographs. And I didn't see me. And eventually, when I was 37 years old, I happened to see a picture of my mom in October of 1951. And it shocked me because I was born in November of 1951 and my mother was not pregnant. So that's when I knew that I was adopted.
How did you feel?
It was very satisfying to know that I wasn't crazy. I didn't blame them. I wasn't angry with them. In 1951, you just didn't talk about those things. So when I got my original birth certificate, it said on there my birth mother's name, and it said that she was born at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. So I went to South Dakota to receive my Indian name and get a crash course in how to be an Indian. After that, my husband and I told Indian Family Services we wanted to adopt a child from my tribe, a Lakota child. And finally, they faxed us a picture of a little Indian child, and she was drinking chocolate syrup out of a Hershey's bottle. And our son said, "That's her. That's the one we need to adopt." And it was you.
That's just another wonderful story, Jordan. Do you get a lot of stories like that, people who are discovering their ancestry?
Yeah, I think, you know, we get folks who discover their ancestry and folks who want to reflect upon their ancestry, which I think in some ways in and of itself is kind of a discovery of one's ancestry. I think a lot of people come in to record with us to memorialize a family member or to think a little bit about where they come from, whether they are, you know, that they just arrived in the U.S. or just arrived in Cincinnati. And will be living there for the first time in their lives, or whether they go back generations. We get a lot of folks who come in reflecting on sort of their own identity and how their identity falls in line with sort of their sense of place and their sense of family, for sure.
Is there one story that you've heard that just really resonated with people, that just really stood out above most of the others over the years?
You know, it's funny because I think our production department sort of aspires to do that every week, so and usually they succeed. One of the stories that I've always really, really liked is a story about it involves a woman in Chicago who is a teacher, and it's her interviewing one of her students. And this student has, you know, he's had this amazingly difficult childhood. He grew up on the streets. He was homeless, and finally he was able to find a place to live. And he speaks with his teacher about, you know, this experience. And his teacher, you know, tells him, you know, "I don't know if you realize how strong you are." And it's this moment where the student had never really thought about how strong he actually was. And it was this moment of realization in this story where you can actually hear it. You can hear it in his voice, where he just has this realization where it's like, "Oh wow, I am actually strong." And it's all of a sudden, it's like this light bulb goes off, and you can hear it in his voice, and you can hear how much sort of affection his teacher has for him. That and most recent memory is one of the stories that was really moved by me, or that really moved me, and that I think has really had an impact on most anybody that I share it with.
How much satisfaction, Jordan, do you get from doing this, and how much would you say the other staff members are satisfied by this work?
That's a good question. Most of the folks who work at StoryCorps are really mission driven and really care a lot about this work, and it's very satisfying to be involved in work that you care about and that you believe in. And for me, you know, the most satisfying thing for me and my work is, you know, when I hold a community meeting in every city that I visit, and I held one in Cincinnati several weeks ago, the most satisfying part for me is to, you know, shake someone's hand at a community meeting, get to know them a little bit, figure out what organization they're working with, what part of the community they're living in, and then to see them, you know, a month or two later, they've come in, they've recorded with us, and I get to see a picture of their smiling face in an email or something like that, telling us about how wonderful an experience they had recording in the booth. So it's wonderful, and it's really satisfying to see people come through sort of the entire StoryCorps pipeline, from not knowing about it at all at the very beginning to sort of being oriented to it and actually participating and being moved by it, and then hopefully encouraging other folks to participate.
Hey, describe the mobile booth a little bit more to us. How big a crew travels with the mobile booth?
Sure. So we have a staff of 3 people that travel with the mobile booth. We're pretty lean and mean. Those 3 folks facilitate all of the interviews that take place in the interview. The facilitating sort of the language we use internally at StoryCorps. Basically, our facilitators are kind of social workers with an ear for radio. Some of the nicest folks you could meet who are really good at adjusting audio levels and making sure that microphones are in the right place, all that kind of stuff. They welcome each and every one of the people that comes in to record with us. We record 7 interviews a day, 5 days a week. So they stay pretty busy while they be in Cincinnati. The Airstream itself is a big, shiny Airstream. We call it the mobile booth, but it's very hard to miss once we'll be parked at the Freedom Center in Cincinnati. And it's about 30 feet long, 10 feet wide, and it's got a big StoryCorps logo right on the side of it.
So you can't miss it.
Right.
Do you travel with it all the time, Jordan?
I always travel in advance of the mobile booth. Every once in a while, I'm able to kind of step back a little bit and visit the mobile booth while it's sort of up and running in the cities that we visit. But I'm the advance guy, so I set everything up, and I work with our radio station partners to make sure everything is ready by the time our crew and our mobile booth pulls into town.
How much time do you spend on the road?
I spend about a week per month on the road.
Now, what do people need to do to prepare for this? What's your advice for if somebody says, I want to do this, it sounds like a great experience, what preparation should they make?
You know, I think folks should, I mean, for the first most important part of preparations that folks need to make before they come in and record with us is to find a conversation partner. You know, whether that is a good friend or a family member or a colleague or maybe a new friend, somebody that you know well and that you feel comfortable having a conversation with. That's really step number one. After that, you know, maybe it's a good idea to think about what you might want to have a conversation about. And beyond that, you don't really need to be over-prepared. You know, maybe bring in a couple of bullet points, you know, questions you might want to ask. But I would really encourage folks to feel like it's a conversation over the dinner table, a conversation where you're just sitting in front of someone that you know and that you love, having an open and honest conversation, and just kind of let the conversation go wherever it wants to go. This is not really the opportunity for folks to come in and become radio famous. Ideally, it's an opportunity for folks to come in and, you know, they don't have their laptops with them. They'll turn their cell phone off. It's sort of free of distractions. You can just come in, sit down, and have a real honest conversation with someone that's important to you.
Jordan, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Of course, my pleasure.
StoryCorps' mobile booth is going to be in Cincinnati from April 20th to May 19th, located at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. Reservations will be available beginning at 10 a.m. this Thursday, and they can be made by calling StoryCorps' 24-hour toll-free reservation line 1-800-850-4406 or by visiting StoryCorps.org. And you can find a link to that registration information at WVXU.org.